Seventh chapter, Jnana Vijnana Yogam, what we are discussing last Sunday. The difference between the matter and spirit. Difference between the matter and the spirit. In the Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Yayedam Daryade Jagat. Isn't it? In that seventh chapter you will see, I think what was the verse number? Verse 5?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabodham mahabaho yayedam dhairyade jagat. We talked about that on last Wednesday. Yedam jarite jagat. Abrayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. That yedam dharide jagat is a difficult expression there. It sustains the universe, Prabhupada writes there, isn't it? So, sustaining the universe. So, what is that sustaining the universe? That's what we talked about on Wednesday. Though that consciousness of us, consciousness in us, it is due to the presence of that consciousness we experience the presence of this creation. In other words, Jagat or the universe is felt, we experience this creation of Krishna's creation, material manifestation, is due to the presence of this consciousness inside, which comes from Chit Shakti. Out of the Satya Chitta Anandam, from Chit Shakti comes this awareness, isn't it? From Chit Shakti comes this awareness. From Chit Shakti comes the awareness. So, Apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyade jagat. Jivabhutam, that means the soul which has transformed into jiva as living entities, yayedam dharyade jagat. It sustains the universe. In other words, only due to that presence of the soul or the very nature of the soul, its consciousness, due to that, the living entity or jiva experiences this creation. That is that Yayedam Dharide Jagat means. So, Jagat, Dharana means one who wears this world. In other words, we are able to experience, perceive the creation due to the presence of this quality of the soul, Bodham, awareness of it. In other words, what does world means? World means only one thing, five senses and the mind. Isn't it? When the mind goes through the senses, eyes are seeing, ears are hearing, nose is smelling, tongue is tasting, and skin is touching. Outside these five activities, nothing else is happening in this world. Anytime if you take any activity in this world, it's happening through these five exits, either through the eyes, ears, or the nose, or the touch, or taste. That's why it's called Jnanendriyam, the five Jnanendriyam. So all knowledge that comes to us through these senses. And who is experiencing? The mind is a part of that. Mind is experiencing that, isn't it? So knowledge, senses on their own, they do not have the capacity to experience anything. But in the presence of the mind, the experience happening. The experience is happening. Accordingly, happiness, distress, success, failure, or any other changes in the creation, all that is happening through these five senses and the mind. And so, when you start recognizing that, behind that mind, like Kathopanishad says there, isn't it? Kathopanishad is talking about this, that the sun is there, because of the sunlight I am seeing something. And that seeing power, for my eye, with the help of sunlight, I am perceiving the different objects in this world. But just because the sunlight is there, I can't perceive any object. I can only perceive because of the, if I have eyes to see. But just because if you have the eyes and the sunlight, can I perceive that? Still no. Unless there is a mind behind it. So sun is there, the object is there, the sun is, sunlight is there, the eyes are there, still it's not complete. Perception comes only when I have the mind. Mind can also perceive, only mind on its own has no sustenance. Only because of the presence of the soul inside, the mind is able to execute its function. The mind is functioning there. So when you look back, you can see that all the sense objects in this world, what we consider as creation and what we consider as created substance from Krishna has created this world, all of them, their existence is only valid so long as the soul is present inside. Otherwise, it is not valid. Whether they exist or not, you won't know about it. So what does it matter whether it exists or not? Only when you know its existence, you give value to it, isn't it? You say, oh, wonderful creation, Krishna's creation is. But in order to perceive that, for the mind, it requires the support from the soul inside. Without soul's presence, it won't happen. And that is known as pratyavijna. Pratyavijna means that. Pratyavijna means that because you can see, when you go into deep sleep state, there is no world. There is no world existing. So it is in his presence that only in the vacant state, all this experience we are talking about. All this experience we are talking about. Now, here, the interesting thing is that in the vacant state, I am there. The body is there. The mind is there. I am there. When I go into the dream state, the body is gone. Mind is there. I am there. When I go into deep sleep state, the body is gone, the mind is gone, I am there. I am there. So these three states, which is based on the world, is known as the Jagra Sapnam Sushupti, which has come due to the three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. All those three states has its own peculiarities. Its own peculiarities. For example, the mind in the vacant state, the mind in the dream state is different. Why is it different? That question naturally comes, isn't it? The reason for that is, in the vacant state, when you are experiencing through the mind, what controls the mind is your karmam and karma vasana. In other words, your actions and the propensities what you have created, impressions that's been created by the action, is that what is going through the mind all the time. Everything will be based on karmam and karma vasana. That is what is happening in the vacant state, karma phalam, in other words, not karma vasana, karma phalam actually. Karmam and karma phalam, action and its results, that predominates the mind in the vacant state. When you go into the dream state, the mind is not doing any karma because you are not performing any karma with the body, nor you are concerned about the results there. What happens in the dream state is, the previous karma vasanas, what you have created in previous lifetimes, and even in this life, whatever vasanas you have created, they predominate the mind. That's why they appear as dreams to us. So the same mind, in vacant state it functions in one way, in dream state it functions in a different way. You can see that difference where it's coming from. In the vacant state, the same mind, people ask this question, how come I can't remember everything what I was in the dream state? Because if it's the same mind, how come I don't remember everything what I was doing in the vacant state? They'll ask this question. Or similarly, when you come back from the dream state back to the waking state, why can't I remember everything what was happening there? Why I'm not feeling anything from that? Reason is this, that the influence on the mind of karmam and karmaphalam, karmam and karmam's result of the karmam, is powerful in the waking state. Vasanas cannot come out straight away. Whereas in the dream state, because you have left the body at that time, purely on the platform of the mind you are working, so therefore karma vasana takes over at that time, and it is that vasanas that manifest in the form of dreams for us. So that is why we say here that so once we recognize that this recognition of the soul inside, and it is through the soul all these things are happening, whether it's mind, whether it's intelligence, whether it's ego, or even the functions of the body and the senses, all that experience what we are having is only purely due to the presence of the soul. And that is what is called pratyavijna. Pratyavijna is the word used for that in the Shastra. So it is this pratyavijna what they refer to, is that what makes us feel complete within this body. We all feel we are complete within ourselves, isn't it? As a unit, I'm saying, the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, and everything together, we feel a complete unit. And why this complete unit feeling comes? It comes from this pratyavijna, presence of the soul. We feel that we can operate in this world. Our senses of knowledge are functioning, senses of action are functioning. Everything is functioning in this world and working as a unit together. And this unit, complete unit functioning, is purely due to this, what is called pratyavijna, presence of the soul inside. So, therefore, this experience while in the vacant state, then we experience happiness, distress. Now, the interesting thing here is, in the soul, there is no distress. Soul has no distress. If you look at the definition of the soul, it is Satta Chitta Anandam. Isn't it? Eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. So there is no distress present in the soul. So where is the distress coming then? But we are most of the time in distress. It's the other way. So you can see from there that it is coming from somewhere, but not from the soul. So where has it come from? This is what Shastram is telling us, that the more we identify with the soul, the distress will go, because distress has come from nowhere else. It's not come from the soul, it's come from somewhere else. And that is where identification with the body and the mind is causing that problem. So it says in the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam also, it says, Dukkha Sagare Nimagnam. Arjuna fell into distress first, isn't it? He was in great distress in the first chapter. Arjuna Vishada Yogam, it's called. Arjuna's distress, first chapter. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is no thing called distress. Why? Because it's only soul that exists. Sat has no distress. Asat has all the distress. So Arjuna's problem was, Arjuna identified with the Asat first, and Vishadam came, distress came. Krishna's point is, you identify with the Sat, Vishadam won't come. Distress won't come. That's the only simple answer to that. So he says here, Dukkha Sagare Nimagnam. Arjuna was in great distress at that time. Great distress. And Arjuna, he... So, Dukkha Sagare Nimagnam. In that great distress, Arjuna Nimitti Kritya. Keeping Arjuna as a cause... Jagadartham, for the purpose of, it was not actually spoken for Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita was spoken for us. But the background was presented to us through Krishna and Arjuna speaking in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. We should not, if this is where all the problem comes. People start looking at it. There is a group of people in this world, they are the scholars, so-called scholars. Their only business is establishing everything is truth according to their understanding. So they'll be very concerned where exactly Bhagavad Gita was spoken. What's a clear spot they want to mark it? The spot where they have spoken Bhagavad Gita. They will take every verse in the Bhagavad Gita and they will start scrutinizing it. And they will scrutinize so thoroughly And you will start finding out all the faults in the grammar mistakes, what Krishna has made, or what Arjuna has made. And they'll start analyzing verse by verse. And these are the people who are teaching in the university. They can talk to you everything about Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything. But they have absolutely no faith that this whole science, what Krishna has spoken, has any meaning, has any sense. Because they have not taken the process of self-realization. They are just studying books and they are talking from that. But no interest in what Krishna has spoken in the substance, in other words. So when that happens, there is a problem. That's why it says, Dukham Dukkha Sagare Nimagnam Arjunam Nimitti Kritya Jagadartham Mahadhauto Logaya Upadidesha. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to the world who wants to inquiring after the truth. Just like Arjuna was in distress, he inquired. Arjuna was in distress, he inquired. Similarly, those conditioned souls in this world, when they come to that platform of inquiry, there should be an answer for them. And that is why Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has not spoken Bhagavad Gita to anyone and everyone in this world. It is not going to happen. Everybody is not going to read Bhagavad Gita and going to realize the truth. The inquiry must come from their side first. When they start inquiring what is the truth, in distress only that inquiry will happen in a person. Dukkha Sagare Nimagnam. That's what he's saying. Dukkha Sagare Nimagnam Nimitti Krutva. He says here that the Jagadartham Mahadhaudo Logaya Upadidesha. For the sake of the world, Upadesham Krishna has given this to Arjuna. So that is when it will work. It will have its effect. You can see that on Arjuna also at that time. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So this chapter, Krishna is begin with this, that the Jnana Vijnana Yogam, that is how it is titled, isn't it? Jnana Vijnana Yogam is the 7th chapter. So this chapter Krishna is beginning. That before that, in the 6th chapter, if you look at the 6th chapter, last verse, which is the introduction to this 7th chapter. Verse 47, in the 6th chapter. Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgaden andaratmana shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yukta tamomata. Yoginam api sarvesham madgade andaratmana shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yukta tamomata. So, before that, Krishna talked about all kinds of yogas, yogis, jnani yogi, karma yogi, bhakti yogi, and all that. Shraddhavan bhajade yomam, Krishna says there, same yukta tamomata. He says that one who continuously remembers me, continuously shraddhavan, one who has got shraddha, bhajade yomam, one who worships me in that way, same yukta tamomata. Krishna considers, says that he is the best. That was the conclusion in the last chapter. In the last chapter, that was the conclusion. That's the last verse in the 6th chapter. Yoginam abhi sarvesham. Among all the yogis, Krishna says, Madgaden andar atmana. Isn't it? Shraddhavan. Madgaden andar atmana. Shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yukta tamomada. The one who is always thinking about me, one who is surrendered to me, if you read the translation also, Krishna will say like that, that the of all yogis, he always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So, a remark Krishna has made in the 6th chapter, the end of the 6th chapter. Now, we are going to start the 7th chapter. The first verse, if you look, you will see what Krishna says there. Having said that, in that 6th chapter, the very first verse in the 7th chapter, Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacham,
Maya Saktamana Partham,
Maya Saktamana Partham,
Yogam Yunjan Madashraya,
Yogam Yunjan Madashraya,
అసంశయం సమగ్రమం యథాజ్ఞాసి తక్షృణు. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ మయ్యాసక్తమన పార్థం యోగం యుంజన్మదాశ్రయం అసంశయం సమగ్రమం యథాజ్ఞాసి తక్షృణు. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ మయ్య ఆసక్తమైన పార్థ యోగం యుంజన్ మదాశ్రయ అసంశయం సమగ్రమాం యథాజ్ఞాసి తక్షృణు. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ఓ సన్, నౌ హియర్ ఓ సన్ ఆఫ్ పార్థ అర్జున, నౌ బై ప్రాక్టీస్ హౌ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ యోగా ఇన్ ఫుల్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇన్ మీ విత్ మైండ్ అటాచ్ టు మీ, యూ క్యాన్ నో మీ ఇన్ ఫుల్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ డౌట్. యూ క్యాన్ నో మీ ఇన్ ఫుల్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ డౌట్. So, first thing, Maya Asakta Mana Partha. Krishna is beginning this chapter with something which we are very familiar with, that word, Asakta. Asakta Mana Partha. Krishna says Asakti. Asakti means what? Asakti is normally used I think it exists in almost all languages in India, Asakti word. Asakti means it's a very powerful urge inside, a drive inside, and attachment, asakti. For example, generally, some people have strong asakti towards money, or some people have very strong asakti towards children, and some people have asakti towards position in this world. This is all called asakti. It's a material terminology, this word asakti. It is only used generally for our material attachment. The word asakti is used. Or some people have great asakti towards job, the work they do. Great asakti they will have. Some people have great asakti for recognition in this world. Different kinds of asakti exist in this world, in our mind. So why did Krishna use that word here? Yeah. If Krishna tells us bhakti, we won't understand. But if Krishna tells us asakti, we will understand very easily. Therefore, he started with asakti. That is the reason why he started with asakti. So this force, this urge or drive inside, whatever it may be, either through money or through family, children, attachment to job, attachment to position, attachment to fame, different attachments, isn't it? It's strong in people. In people's mind. So when Krishna says the same force or urge or the drive inside, when it turns towards the self-realization, it is bhakti. That's what Krishna's point is. If you have the same urge and drive to get all these different things we talked about, which will work very hard in this world, you can see all the time, isn't it? That football players, tennis players, they want recognition and they want money, so they have strong urge for that, to work very hard for that. Similarly, politicians for power, attachment, asakti is there for the power. Similarly, business people, asakti for the money. Never satisfied with any amount of money, that keeps on and on. So asakti is there. Krishna's point is, if the same asakti, attachment, if it comes to self-realization, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That's why Krishna says there, my asakta mana partha. When Krishna says my asakta, attachment to Krishna means attachment to self-realization, attachment to knowing the truth. That is bhakti. Not that we haven't even seen Krishna to get attached to Krishna. So it is very difficult. But that when it comes through Shastram, it has to be spoken like that. When Krishna is speaking purely as the soul of all the living beings in this creation, he is the soul of all the living beings. It is from that state Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. That is why he is saying there, Maya Asakta Mana Partha. Arjuna, if that asakti is towards me, when Krishna says that Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. If in that state, and Krishna says, if you execute Krishna consciousness, then that Yogam, Bhagavad Asakti is Yogam. Bhagavad Asakti is Yogam. It's a very interesting thing, this subject, because normally we won't understand bhakti. It is difficult for us. Our mind is so polluted and impure with various material desires and material aspirations. So if you tell someone about bhakti, it is impossible for him to perceive that. What this bhakti means? What is this bhakti, they will ask. What should I do now? That's what they will say. What should I do now to become a pure devotee? So if you ask that question, there is no answer to that. The problem is that inside there is what we understand today is all these things. Job, money, fame, followers and things like that. We won't understand what is Krishna is talking about. So therefore deliberately Krishna uses that word, Arjuna, if that asakti in you, if it becomes attached to the self-realization, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So many histories, throughout the history if you look you will see, Acharya Swamiji's journey through Karnataka, he reached a place called Shivali, one interior village near Shimoga district. There, what has happened was that he had a boy was brought before him who looked very dull-headed. He didn't have any, he sounded very dull and he couldn't speak anything. He was in a very, was in a state which was not normal for a young child of 7-8 years old. Father and mother tried to develop him spiritually, educate him on spiritual life, but this child had no interest whatsoever. And there was an experience at that time, and in his journey further, when he went to, when he met his spiritual master, Acharya Swami, spiritual master in Madhya Pradesh, where he had a discussion with him, the spiritual master asked him what his understanding of spiritual life is. So an 8-year-old boy, he replied, answered him what spiritual life is all about. There is a 10 verses he spoke to his spiritual master, which is known as Dashashloki. Dashashloki means the 10 verses about self-realization, what he spoke when he was 8 years old. Many, many years later, when he had his disciple called Padmavada came up to him and one day inquired from him before he left his body, that can you tell me in summary what this self-realization should be? How can I explain self-realization to someone? Acharya Swamiji says to him, what I have spoken when I was 8 years old is as valid today as it was then. In other words, what he was saying was, in spiritual knowledge, there is no evolvement. In material knowledge, you always evolve, isn't it? Today you have found something materially, some knowledge you have developed. Definitely it will be developed and brought in another level next year or year after. It will start with 2G, then it goes to 3G, 4G, it will keep going like that. Look at the cars, it kept on developing from one model to another model. Still they are saying it's not perfect, still there's a lot of perfection required. Every knowledge in the material world is like that. It keeps on developing. In spiritual life, there is no development. Knowledge is pure. That is why it is called a knowledge. As soon as you bring development into it, it's not spiritual knowledge anymore. It's a very interesting concept if you think about it. Once you realize the spiritual realization comes and you have reached that state, that's it. Full stop. No more development after that. Here, in material life, you have to develop everything day after day, no matter what it is. Whether it is physics, chemistry, or any engineering, technology, medicine, doesn't matter, any branch for that matter, there's always development going on. You have to develop it, isn't it? Whereas in spiritual life, once you know the truth, truth is never developed. It's always the truth. It remains as the truth. So his answer to the disciple was, what I've spoken when I was 8-year-old to my spiritual master, that is the truth. Even today, when he was 32 years old before leaving his body, he said, answered the same thing to Padmavada. So in order to stress this point, that spiritual development is different than the material. Spiritually, development means realization. Once you realize the truth, there is no more development after that. So, once it has come, once it has caught, you're caught with that. It doesn't go away after that. And there is no gradual development or anything in that spiritual field. Because realization of the self is like that. You have understood that, realized the truth, and that remains as the truth forever. So, this is the subject we are discussing, that just like in the association of those great realized souls, if you get infected by that realization, then you had it. Just like in an assembly of people, group of people, suppose someone has, say, cold or flu or anything, he will have his virus in that and it can infect on others as well. The spiritual knowledge is also like that. If someone who is self-realized and who is in that state, even if you don't do anything, just being in his presence, that infection will happen. That infection will happen, provided you are in the assembly of a personality like that. That's where it's coming from. That's what Krishna is going to say about that. That many, many people, even if you, this is the power of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is like that. In many ashrams, we have seen this, when very great Mahatmas lived, many people came from nowhere. They had no knowledge of anything. But in a very short time, they all developed that spiritual sense. And in other words, they all came to, because of purely by association alone, they developed the understanding of the spiritual truth. And in due course of time, many of them became very self-realized in their own way. They came to that state. To that state they arrived, or they reached in that state. So here, so why we are talking about this is that the infection of spiritual life is like that. Even if you may think that you may have not understood everything what is spoken, either you have understood everything or you may not have understood everything. You may have not understood everything. Or you may not have given sufficient attention to it. But this knowledge of the soul is such, it will forcefully enter in a person's heart without his knowledge. This is one of the interesting aspects of spiritual life. That many times you can observe this, that people had come and they have in the association of great Mahatmas particularly, they will sit there and they never took any interest in anything. They just observed things what was going on. Not that they are particularly inquisitive, inquiring anything, but just being in the presence of those personalities, it infected them in one way or the other. And later on, inside, the work starts building up. Inside, the inquiry begins. So once, whether you are in the satsangam, the satsangam's beauty is what it is, that in satsangam, whether you give all the attention, you don't give any attention, or even if you don't expose yourself all the ways, you are benefited. In either way, you are benefited. That satsangam's beauty is like that. You may wonder that, oh, everything that's spoken is not fully understood. Or we may not have taken enough, we may not have realized anything. But the way it works is that anything related to the soul, anything related to Krishna, once it hears, Shravanam happens inside. And that Shravanam process is different than the way we study with the mind and the intelligence. Material subjects we study with mind and intelligence and trying to analyze it through the mind and trying to understand. But spiritual topic has nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with intelligence. It goes in. And when it goes in, it's directly experienced by the soul straight away or some other time it can happen. So, in the sixth chapter, Krishna spoke about Dhyana Yogam, isn't it? And in bhakti process, Dhyana Yogam is an important chapter. And what does it mean? Dhyana means simply remembering Krishna, remembering Krishna's qualities, transcendental qualities in other words. So, Krishna, when he started the seventh chapter, Krishna says here that the word he uses is asakti, isn't it? My asakta manak partha. Asakti, everybody knows. What does asakti means? It is this asakti that is keeping us in this world. If you had no asakti, you won't be here in this world. You won't be here in this, you would have left this world long ago. But because we have asakti here, attachment for home, family, society, that's where we are hanging on, paying the poll tax and living in one place very strongly. For this reason only, that there is asakti there. Nobody wants to pay the poll tax, but they ask anyone, they'll tell you, they don't. They feel that they're all being cheated and all, sometimes things they'll talk about it. But the thing is, asakti is there. There is no doubt about that. So, Krishna says that that this asakti, if you attachment, in other words, if you can asakti maya, it says yogam yunjan madashraya. If it is taken towards many asaktamana, that asakti becomes bhakti. Asakti becomes bhakti. Many examples are given. Just like a lover who loves his wife, who loves his friend, women, whomever he likes, that attachment, that's attachment. Or a miserly person, he has attachment for money, strong attachment for the money. So, similarly, one who is addicted to alcohol, his attachment to alcohol, isn't it? He'll be waiting for an opportunity when he can walk into the place. Similarly, the river is very attached to the ocean. She wants to get there very quickly. All these things, if you add all these attachments together, so that powerful has to be the force within for Krishna within us. If we have that kind of strength, just like a miserly person has attachment for money, a man for his love for his girlfriend or friend, whoever it is, and woman, and or just like the attachment, less like the urge for the river to get to the sea, in such a way, if you add up all these two together, if you have that kind of attachment inside for Krishna, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That's all. And in other words, that force inside has to be that strong. Otherwise, it's not bhakti. Here, we are thinking in a different way. How we are thinking about it is, what should I do? All the question is, what should I do? What should I do now? This what should I do doesn't appear in the spiritual life. While you are doing, nothing is going to happen. This is all misunderstanding. Because I've done, then you will say, just like in the karmi world, I've done all this, where's the result? The next question. So, karmam and karma bhalam, this is our background. We are bringing that into spiritual life and saying, what should I do now? And if I've done all that, now I'm not getting anything. Then the next lamentation after that. So, you can see where we go wrong. You know, unless we change the clean sheet inside, we have to start with. Not with all the preconceived ideas about bhakti. Our idea at the moment is, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'll make it 32 in 1 year, and 64 for a few years, and then definitely the result must come. So this karmam, karma phalam, result business, work and result, which is in the karmam in our life, we are just bringing that into spiritual life also, and expecting the same way result to happen. That won't happen in spiritual life. That will not happen in spiritual life, because spiritual life is Krishna's domain. Just like material life is Maya's domain, Krishna life is Krishna's domain. Krishna will decide whether we are qualified or not. What you have done, you may or may not have done anything, but Krishna's mercy is like that, so powerful that it can happen. So, the symptom of bhakti is this attachment. That is the point Krishna is making, this attachment. So, first thing is to give up the attachment. In order to get attached to Krishna, attachment to the world must go. Two things can't work together. Attachment to the world, attachment to Krishna cannot work together. So, in Jnanamargam, they will say like this, that Jnanam and Vairagyam, Viveka Vairagyam they call it. Listen, Vivekam and Vairagyam are the two things, the pre-qualification for knowledge, it says. So, what is this Vivekam? Vivekam means that discrimination, power to discriminate. How do you discriminate? Discrimination is like this. That dukkhanya lokya jandushu alamudita vivekoham acharya varyaham. That he has seen and observed this world and found out the essence of this whole world is nothing but distress, basically. But to come to that understanding, it takes time. It takes time. That to come to that conclusion, that this summum bonum, or the complete essence of this whole world, material life in this world, is distress at the end. That's why dukkha anya lokya jandushu alam. All jandu, all the living entities in this world is always in distress. We don't understand that statement because we don't know what that distress is. Take for example, all the animals, their continuous anxiety about somebody else is going to kill them and eat them. All animals are in that fear they live, isn't it? They are not worried about Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. They are simply worried about their body. That's their main consideration. So that means, as long as you have a material body, there is always fear attached to that. So whether you look at animals, that is the state, their state of existence. Once you come to the human body, also, is human being free from that fear? At no stage is free from fear, isn't it? Birth, Krishna, that's why Krishna says birth, death, old age and disease. These four things, we don't even take that very seriously, do we? We don't think, oh, that will only come at old age, isn't it? And if I get sick, there is NHS there, why should I worry about it? Like this, our mind will dictate so many things. And we are willing to tolerate all the misery also in this world, and then philosophize the whole thing and say, oh, after all, that's how life is, like that, isn't it? Where does it say life has to be like this? Is there anywhere? You don't see in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam that life has to be like this, the way we keep on taking misery after misery, day after day, and suffering, and always in anxiety about the job, about the money, about maintaining the body, maintaining the family. Constant anxiety from beginning to end, and leaving this world one day without any happiness from anywhere at the end, going to another body to continue the same business again. So that is the point Krishna is making here, that vivekam is this. Vivekam means this ability to discriminate. Dukhani alokya jandushu alam uditam vivekam. Vivekam will develop in a person when he has since thought about this world, about the people, about their misery, distress and everything, and he has concluded himself finally that what is available, the only profit in this whole life is at the end is distress, nothing else. Whether you are a rich man or a poor man, it doesn't matter. A rich man also, with all his money, wealth behind it, while leaving the body, he has to go through the same distress and misery what any one of us has to go through, sometimes even more. Because of the increased chitavritti, he may have to even suffer at that time. So distress is concerned, there is no reduction in that. He may have his lifetime in this world, he may feel somewhat some difference in his level of experience of this world, but overall, the same distress, old age, disease, death, that waits for him equally as much as it waits for any ordinary person in this world. So there is no escape route there. So Krishna's point is, a person who has got vivekam, discrimination, he will come to this understanding, dukha nyalokya jandushu alam uditam vivekam. That he will have that vivekam, discrimination. If that vivekam has come to a person, the job gets a lot easier after that. Because it is this the most first step where it's most difficult to get to that state. And he says here, that Krishna says here, once that happened, that then naturally if that vivekam has come, vairagyam will follow. You will find that all these things in this world, what we consider as important today in our life in this world, your attachment, that hridaya granthi, what Bhagavatam calls it as hridaya granthi, tight knot of attachment will loosen up. It will loosen up. You will start realizing that ultimately the body, everything is going to go, including this body is going to go. So why am I going to waste my whole lifetime in this business of looking after all these things? Means the body, the assets, the wealth, everything what we have, worked so hard all my life and protected everything so far, but it's slipping away. So when you come to that understanding, that is vivekam. That is Krishna is saying, when vivekam is there, vairagyam will follow. Dukhanya lokya jandushu alamudida vivekoham ajarya varyalabdhva todruvadatvam gunacharitagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. Krishna is saying that at that point, labdhva todruvadatvam, when vivekam has come, then vairagyam will follow and inquiry will begin from inside. I just want to know what is the truth of my life in this world, what I am here for. This inquiry has to come from within. Alam udita vivekam koham acharya varya. It is at that time the connection with the spiritual master, acharya varya, that will benefit him. And from him, he will know labdhva todruva tattvam. He will understand the tattvam from that person. Gunacharitagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. That he will not only know the principle of the purpose of living in this world, along with that he will also hear about Krishna, Guna Charita Katha Ulbhaval Bhakti Puma. When he hear about Krishna, he will want to know more about Krishna, and along with that all other Krishna's activities, Krishna's appearance, all these things will make some sense to him. Otherwise it won't make any sense. Suppose we study the appearance of, say, in the some great politician or a businessman. They will write in the newspaper and the internet and all that, such and such a person was born in such a year, and he grew up like this, he is a self-made man, he made so much money, built this big business empire and everything. And when you read all that, you feel something about him. It creates some impact on you, isn't it? That he has worked hard, made so much money, and he has built up all this big business and everything. You may think about him something. Similarly, you may think about some big politicians who have worked hard and became the chief minister or prime minister or president, something like that. And you will start giving some credit to him for what he has achieved in his life. In the same way, if you start studying about Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities, Krishna has done somewhat better than them, you will say. Some conclusion you will come at. But that is not the purpose. Purpose is this. Dukhanyalokya jandushu alam uditam vivekamaham acharyavaya. After going through distress in life and seeing that distress is everywhere, everyone is going through in some form or the other, and inside you are getting that strong sense that tells you that material world is nothing but a place of misery, what Krishna has said. Isn't it? Anityam asukham logam. And we have to come to that firm conclusion, and at that time vivekam has come. And then if you are in contact with the realized soul, labdhva tudruva tattvam, he will explain about the shastram, the conclusion of Vedam, Upanishads, Shruti. And when you hear that, it will make sense. It will make sense. Up to that time, it won't make any sense. You will study that like physics and chemistry, you will study Upanishads also. Then what will happen? What will happen is that just like physics and chemistry, when the purpose is business, you will throw it away. Same, you will throw away Upanishads also. But this is not in that category. This is what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. That so, in the generally, Vivekam Vairagyam is associated with Jnana Margam, in the process of knowledge. If you go for self-realization through the process of knowledge, Vivekam Vairagyam is a mandatory requirement. Compulsory requirement it is. Without that, you can't go one step further after that. But in bhakti, that is not a compulsory thing. In bhakti process, it is not compulsory thing. What Krishna is saying here is that my asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashray. Execute bhakti yogam in such a way. We are now talking about bhakti yogam, isn't it? 7th chapter onwards, it's bhakti yogam. Krishna is saying, he's not talking about vivekam vairagyam. Just like you have asakti towards everything else in this world, to money, to family, to society and various things. In the same way, if you, instead of sticking to all that, stick to me, Krishna says. Just stick to me and execute your bhakti yoga process. Everything will be okay. That's all Krishna is saying. But first thing is that attachment has to come away from other things to Krishna. That's where all the difficulty is. As we know about this, that the vyavaharam is vyavaharam. That means our business in this world, that should not be mixed with spiritual life. If you mix these two things together, then there will be serious problems. We are supposed to take Krishna shelter and continue vyavaharam in this world, do the business in this world. But we take the shelter of the world and want to do business with Krishna. That's where everything misfires. This is where everything goes wrong. This is the basic principle of spiritual life. That's what Krishna is saying here. Yogam yunjan madashraya. Take my shelter first and then execute your yoga process. Do your business in this world. But because we don't do that, we say we take Krishna's shelter, but very much we check the bank account first and then decide whether we should take Krishna's shelter or not. So, because it is like that, our spiritual life goes on and on and on and on, life after life, never comes to an end. Why? Because our faith is so feeble in Krishna's words also. So, my asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Those two words, if you look, you will see. First thing is Krishna says, that attachment you have to this world, take that away and put it to attach to bring it to me. That attachment means it can be either, you can call it as attachment to Krishna, the Supreme Truth, Absolute Supreme Personality, or towards Self-Realization. Either way, it is attachment to Krishna. It doesn't matter. If it is a jnani, it is Self-Realization. It's attached to Self-Realization. If it's a devotee, he is attached to Krishna, Personality. To do that, Krishna says, Asakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. That word is very important, Madashraya. And depend on me and execute your bhakti process. Execute your bhakti process, then it will work. Otherwise, it will not work. What we are now saying is to Krishna is that I'll do everything what you say, but we will have our own structure of salaries and promotions and bonuses and everything, and then I will do whatever other things what you have told me, and that is not bhakti. We can forget about it. It doesn't work. If you accept Bhagavad Gita, either you have to accept Bhagavad Gita or you have to accept the society, what society does. Society will tell you all these things, that, oh, we have to be secure in this world, otherwise how will I manage my family, how will I manage my life, and what is there for me in the old age, where is the protection shelter. So I will introduce things, what I think is my, that means the shelter is in the bonus as well as in the salary and other things. And Krishna is saying there, Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. Unless you have taken my shelter, your execution of Yogam is bogus. It's not Yogam anymore. It's Karmam then, after that. Isn't it? So, that is what it is saying here. In Krishna, in the Bhagavadam, gopis also say the same thing to Krishna. Idara raga vismaranam nranam adhara viranaste adharamratam. So, idara raga vismaranam nranam. Gopi says to Krishna, that ever since we came into contact with you, first thing what has happened to us is that we have lost the attachment to Idara Ragam, all other kinds of attachment. Raga means attachment. All other attachments has gone. We don't know where it has gone. Gopis are saying this. You may think that gopis are ordinary people, but things what they have spoken from a very higher level of realizations. They are saying this. Idara Raga Vismaranam Nranam. Idara raga means all other attachment in this world has gone. Where they have gone, we don't know. Gopis are saying this. And vismaranam, that is gone. And now they are saying that we don't have time for anything else now. Because your attachment to Krishna has increased so much. And we didn't give it up. They left on their own. That's what has happened to the gopis. Because of association with Krishna, that attachment has left them on its own without they praying for it or they trying to get themselves detached. The power of bhakti is spoken like that in the Bhagavadam. That Bhagavadam, gopis are saying to Krishna, that idara raga vismaranam nranam adhara viranaste adharamadam. That when we came into contact with you, we had all kinds of desires in our mind, various kinds of desires. But ever since we got attached to you, and we started in your association, what has happened now is that all attachments have gone away. Krishna told them to go back to their home, isn't it? But they didn't go. Why? Because of this. They couldn't go back. He says, because their asakti now is towards Krishna. It has gone away from the world to Krishna. All that bhakti is towards Krishna. So naturally, Bhagavad Asakti, or in other words, attachment to Krishna, has cut off their attachment towards the world. So this is why devotees pray to Krishna, give me bhakti. Because if bhakti comes, proper bhakti comes, automatically you can see attachment to Krishna has developed, bhakti has developed, attachment to the world automatically drops. It goes away immediately. So for some people, this will be an easy process. This situation can develop, like what has happened to the gopis. For others, Jnanamargam will be easy. Jnanamargam will be easy. So this Vivekam Vairagyam, what we are talking about, it depends on the individual, on the person who is practicing spiritual life. For one who is very absorbed and attracted by the Jnanam process, for him, the follow process is Vivegam Vairagyam. It has to happen in that way. That's how it will happen to him. One who is in the Jnanamargam. One who is in the Bhakti Margam, not that he decides, I am going to use the Bhakti Margam process from now on, and he will start making his own. No, it doesn't work like that. Initially, everything is unclear. We don't know what is Jnanam, we don't know what is Bhakti, we don't know what is Karma. We do a lot of things, whatever we have been told. We keep doing it, thinking that one day we'll get there, or somebody in that understanding. But that is not spiritual life. Krishna is not saying like that. Krishna is saying very clear instructions from Krishna about that. He says, if you come to this bhakti process, first thing is, mayasakta manapartha. You have attachment everywhere. Try to give up that attachment and come to me and get attached to me. Yogam yunjan madashraya. Execute that understanding, that completely taking my shelter. So, sharanagati or surrender is the key to bhakti, first thing. And once that happens, attachment develops to Krishna, automatically our attachment to the world will go on its own. This is the bhakti process, how it happens. In Jnana Margam, one cultivates the knowledge. How? First comes Vivegam and then comes Vairagyam. And after that, all his understanding of the Jnana Margam becomes much more easier. He understands the principle. So, sadhana bhakti is at that stage. Which stage? Then, when we have starting spiritual life, there should be some renunciation, vivekam and vairagyam. Otherwise, it cannot work. Whether it's a devotee or it's a jnani. For jnani, it is a must. But for a devotee also, he cannot go very, for a long period of time, he cannot continue with spiritual life if there is no viveka vairagyam inside. It is a requirement inside. So, with Vivekam and with Vairagyam, that is why it says here, Dukkhanyalokya jandushu alamudhita vivekoham ajari varya labdhuva todrupadatvam guna charitakada ulbhaval bhakti bhuma. That is the time when bhakti starts developing, when after some Vivekam and some Vairagyam has come to him. So, some people, now suppose nothing is possible. It's not possible to do Jnana Margam. It's not possible to follow the Bhakti Margam also. Suppose we are in that state. What should one do? That's what Krishna is saying. Mai asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramam yadajnyasasi tatshranu. The point here is that many people in this world, in this modern world, are unable to do it. Unable to do it. Various reasons. You leave home at 8 o'clock in the morning, you are coming back at 12 o'clock in the midnight after a whole day's work. And many places, as it gets tough, it gets difficult working life. In there, it is hard, there is desire, but they can't do anything about it. That is the prarabdham that is with them. When so they are unable to come out of that work. So, whole time, whole day, and even up to 10 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the night, they are busy with the work. But at the same time, inside there is this burning. I am not able to do anything about my spiritual life. There is desire is there, and there is a fire burning inside, a kind of restlessness inside. It happens to people, many, many people. It happens. It's not an unusual thing. We sometimes misunderstand that this is a very important point, because we misunderstand things sometimes. We think that we have to give up this working life, and prarabdham has not left us. It's still there in some form. So, because prarabdham is there, that prarabdham has come in the form of family or whatever that is around us, or maintenance, one's own body, Krishna says one has to work. All this situation happens. When it has all happened, and you are so implicated in the life, as you said, from starting from early hours in the morning to late in the night, one is working. And sometimes you get very limited time for spiritual life, and by the time you want to do something, the mind is not favorable because of the association outside. So, those people who are in that state, they are not peaceful there even while working, because inside it is burning all the time that I am unable to execute spiritual life. It's disturbing them very much. It's a fact of life. Nobody can deny that. We think everyone who is going to work is all useless, because whereas we people are full-time devotees. We are doing that is not the understanding. It is an inside story you have to look at, these people. There are many people who are going to work, but at the same time, due to prarabdham, they are unable to come out of it. They are stuck in that state. But inside, they know, value it very much, that they are unable to execute spiritual life due to that prarabdha karma. So, in the Bhagavatam, there is a class of people spoken about. When gopis ran to Krishna, if you remember, Krishna played the flute and quite a lot of gopis ran towards Krishna. Some people could not go. They were stuck in the house. Their husbands did not allow them to go. Some of them managed to escape and they ran to Krishna. Some of them couldn't. They stayed back. So, the husbands or father or mother, they objected to them. So, they stayed back. They stayed back in the house, and they could not go. And that separation they felt very strongly. Very strongly, they felt separation from Krishna. They wanted to go, but they couldn't go in that state. So, because it was like that, Sukadeva Goswami, when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he talked about them very seriously. He says in the Bhagavatam, you will see, Dusaha Preshta Viraha Kshina Mangalaha. He says that when they stayed back in the house, because they couldn't go, they felt that separation from Krishna to such an extent, all their sinful activities got burned in that distress. In other words, let's understand this properly. When do we get liberation from this material body? When our sinful activities and pious activities both are wiped out. Suppose you have done a lot of pious activities in this world, you have to come back here again. And you have to enjoy the results of all your pious activities. Suppose you have committed a lot of sinful activities, still you have to accept another body and suffer through all that, sinful reactions. So both sinful reactions and the activities of your pious activities, both should become zero. Only then the soul is free from karma. Karma is over at that time. So those who were stuck in the home, those gopis, who could not go, they felt the separation so intense. In that fire of separation, all their results of their pious activities were also burned in that. They couldn't go, and by the time when they come back, already they have left this world. Gone back. Dusaha prashta daraha kshina mangalaha. He said kshina mangala means everything was wiped out. Their slate was made clean in that. And then he also says, this separation from Krishna, because of that virahadhava means that separation from Krishna, due to that, all their sinful reactions also got burned. Sinful reactions also got burned. And therefore it says there that in their heart they were embracing Krishna. So the pious activities what they have performed, they experienced Krishna within the heart. And the fire of separation from Krishna, it burned all their sinful activities. So that is how they became qualified for liberation. They became qualified for liberation. Sukadeva Goswami makes it a point to tell us that when you feel separation from Krishna, there are many people in that state in this world, due to some prarabdham, whatever it may be, they have forced to be in a particular situation. They don't get the opportunity to execute the spiritual life the way they wanted. But they are forced to be in that particular place or particular working conditions or whatever. So when that happens, one should not think that, oh, he has no hope. No, it happens like this. And this is why this example in the Bhagavatam is given, to tell us that those gopis, not that all the gopis who went to Krishna alone went back to the spiritual world. Those who stayed back as well had gone back to spiritual world. Why? Tusaha preshta daraha. That they had their sinful activities, which were still to be nullified, because of feeling of separation from Krishna, that was wiped out. Similarly, at the same time, they were continuously thinking about Krishna and remembering Krishna so strongly that all their pious activities also became a cause of their liberation, in other words. So, that is the important point to remember. So, if when you experience material happiness in this world, your pious account is coming down, isn't it? Pious activity is coming down. Pious credit, in other words. It's like your bank account it is. Similarly, when you experience distress in this world, the sinful reactions also gets wiped out. So, both goes away. In one case, it is the iron chain. The other one, it is the golden chain. But both are chain at the end. That's what you have to remember. That we think that when we have success in material life, Krishna is favorable. But what we don't recognize is that there is also binding, bondage happening there. So whether it's an iron chain or a golden chain, either way, it is bondage still. It is bondage still. So there will be some people always in that category. So that for such people, they don't have time for sadhana because they are so busy with the work. And there are people who are just like locked up, like the gopis who are locked up. They are locked up there. That's what Krishna says, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know, Gam dugda doham asadinja varyam deham paradhinam asal prajamja vittam tatirthi kritam angam vajam heenam ayarakshati dukha dukhi. Krishna says that a person due to paradhinata. Paradhinata means that sometimes the body is under somebody else's control. All of us, isn't it? Body is somebody. For a brahmachari, no. Or for a sannyasi, no. But all others, majority of people are householders in this world. So generally, they are under the control of the family members, or when they are children, it's parents' control, or the old age is somebody else's control, or it is at the workplace, it is the boss' control. He controls your life. So whichever way it is, you are under control. That is paradhinam, deham paradhinam, Krishna says. And if that happens, Krishna says, still does not mean that everything is over. Even in that situation, Krishna says here that self-realization is possible. Even in that state, if that person is spiritually serious about spiritual life, it is possible. So long as he has that intense feeling inside that I could not realize the truth. I have given this human body. He has read Bhagavatam and he has found out Krishna is saying that human life is meant for self-realization. And he is feeling very strongly inside, I am unable to follow that path. And it says, and at that point, what will happen is, Krishna says here, that mumukshatvam, or intense desire for liberation, will develop in that person. Then, and that bhakti at that time will develop into that state. Immediately at that point, he will realize the truth, if that separation becomes very intense inside. So, Krishna, attachment to Krishna is more important than in his mayasakta manapartha. So in yoga, now every word, if you look in Bhagavad Gita, you will see the potency behind it. Krishna is saying here, mayasakta manapartha yogam. So you can execute yogam without asakti also, isn't it? You can execute yogam without asakti. It is possible to execute yoga. For example, in many schools now they are teaching yogam. Yoga they are teaching, isn't it? In college and in the many IT companies also, they are teaching their staff yoga because they are saying that it will help you to work better, more hours you can work. And but in the army, they are teaching yoga. In American army, they have yoga teachers. They teach because they found certain habits they can wipe out to make them good soldiers, in other words, to fight the war. They found that yoga can help. So, yogam is practiced in all these places. But that will not become yogam. That's what Krishna is saying. If it is not connected with Krishna, it is not yogam. It is simply a... So, that is why Krishna is saying, it is not spiritual. What is the reason? Because mayasakta mana is not there. See? When mayasakta mana is not there, it is not yogam. Neither mayasakta mana madashraya. Neither are there. All these yoga systems, what people have developed and is being taught all over the world in the name of yoga. When you see that, you can only say, what a yogam this is. It just happened like this. Yogam has different meanings sometimes. Yoga means what a fate. This is that they have to learn yoga in this way. So that's another kind of yoga. So here, the important thing is, Krishna is saying this, my asakta mana partha yogam. That yogam should be executed with attachment to Krishna, or attachment for self-realization. Attachment for the soul is important, without which it's not yogam. Yogam yunjan madashrayam. So some places, for them, those who are doing all these institutions who are running yoga practices, jnanam is not important, realization is not important, or self-realization is not important for them. They are doing it so that the blood pressure won't build up, the mind is a bit peaceful. We are advertising like that sometimes, saying that you will have running japa sessions to get people's mind peaceful. It says, we are doing that now. There's so many places you will see this advertisement. So there itself you have lost it. You already lost it. Because Krishna is saying here, unless it is mayasakta manapartha, it's not yogam. This is how yogam gets lost. Sakale neha mahada yogo nashta parandava. Krishna says in the fourth chapter. Isn't it? What does he say? Evam vivasvan manave praha mani rikshagave bhavid. In that verse, immediately after that he says, that sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parandava. So how we lost yogam, it's like this. That so many people are teaching yogam, but because there is my asakta is not there, madashraya is not there, there is no yogam there, as far as Krishna is concerned. There is no yogam there. So we have to see these things from the Bhagavad Gita point of view. So so sometimes it is interesting that there are so many people have got this faculty or capacity to do different kinds of work, and they will use yogam, but it is not spiritual. It's not spiritual. Just to give you an example, this is because it's related to bhakti, it will be more interesting to you than jnanam or karma. There are a lot of people in this world, they have no understanding what bhakti is for. So generally they fall into this trap, thinking that if I just chant the holy name, it is bhakti. They take it like that. And they will think, Ajamila has chanted once, so I should also be chanting once and I should be back home, back to Godhead. But it hasn't happened. Similarly, there are many instructions in the Shastram that if you chant the holy name, even once it will say. And people will think, once only you have to chant the holy name, it's such a simple thing. And then, why we are not going back? That question will come, isn't it? So similarly, there are a lot of people have a lot of understanding in the same way. So there was a man who ran a cloth shop and he was a Vaishnava. Vaishnava he was, they followed all the Vaishnava traditions properly. But the knowledge is not there. No understanding of anything. He was running the shop. He'll put his tilak properly. He'll put his clothes nicely. And shikha, everything perfect. Externally, appearance is very good. He has also employed a few Vaishnavas like him in the shop. So what they used to do, they have to give the impression to the world they are all very great devotees to get the business out of the people. So when somebody walks into the shop, there were so many people who were, people who, in the cloth shop, you will see 10, 12 people. Every one of them, somebody will pull out all the saris, somebody will pull out all the dhotis, somebody will pull out all the kurtas, whichever you want to buy. And according to, different departments in the shop. So as soon as the customer comes in, one will say, Hari Hari, he will say. Another one will say, Krishna Krishna. And a third one will say, Govinda Govinda, he will say. Now the person who is coming in, he will think, oh, all these are great devotees here. Actually, this is a code language among them. What it is, if you say Hari Hari means, the person is not wealthy, accordingly you deal with him. If he says Krishna Krishna, the highest, he has got plenty of money, put the prices up and deal with him. This is how business is done. Now, will you say that all these pure devotees who are selling, working in the church, chanting the holy name, But they are using the holy name for their business, for developing the business. So this is what Krishna is saying here, Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. It's not there. So therefore, because asakti is not there, Madashraya is not there, it's not Yogam anymore. It's gone. It's gone. That is what Krishna is saying. Remember that chapter in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It's an important verse where Krishna says there that the sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parandava, that yogam has gone and that is not going to come back. He says, evam parambara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parandava. So yogam has gone, shastram is still there. They are using still the shastram. All these people know the shastram, but yogam has gone. Yogam has gone. Very quickly it happens in spiritual life. One person who realizes the truth, he comes, he establishes certain standards, everything. As soon as he goes, everything goes with that. That is what it is. Everything goes. It's not possible because only that person had that realization. Others didn't have it. They haven't got it. So therefore, what will happen? The new generation will come, bring new rules, new regulations, and they will say so many things, whatever it may be. Krishna is saying, evam parambara praptam. We misunderstand parambara means what? What do we think? Father to son is parambara. It's like that spiritual master, disciple, spiritual master. That is not how parambara is to be understood. Only those who are self-realized, they are in the parambara. Others is just a baggage there, just a burden on them. We may follow anything, but we have not hold on to the truth yet. The truth is far away from us. We are thinking that I am in this parambara and paramparas will start fighting each other. Which parambara is better than? Two people who neither belongs to any parambara, but their tilaks are two different paramparas. They started fighting each other on the basis of the parambara. They were fighting each other. My parambara is better than your parambara. They were arguing each other. So Krishna's point is, that's evadhyam, Krishna says, evam parambara praptam, when we even don't understand parambara properly, imam rajarshayo vidu, when Krishna says parambara, Krishna says, all those great personalities in this parambara of solar dynasty, when we're talking about Ikshvaku, Manu, and Dasharatha, those were people who had realized, and if you read their history also, if their life in the Ramayanam and in the Mahabharatam also, those kings, they were realized, you could see, how could you know that? At the very fag end of the life, they threw away the whole thing, walked into the forest and realized the truth. Nobody could do that, isn't it? Nobody could do that. They were able to do that. And that you can see in the case of Raghu, in the case of many great, great personalities in the solar dynasty. And that is the parambara. And it is that parambara Krishna is talking about. Emam parambara praptam imam rajarshi. Rajarshis they are called. Yudhishthira Maharaja. Look at the way Yudhishthira left this world. When everything was sorted out, war was over, the palace was given. Normally you would have thought Yudhishthira would have liked to stay a little longer, didn't he? No. As soon as he saw that the time has come, he says, put the throne on Parikshit's head and walked out from there. And that, if you read in the Bhagavatam, is a very touching scene. That a personality like Yudhishthira, who has stuck with dharmam, but at the same time, that intense desire for going back to the spiritual world, not to come back again here, and that thought of self-realization in him was so powerful at that time. Same thing you find many, many kings in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that those who have gone like that, all their names are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Those who have not done that, they are not mentioned at all. You can see that also in the Bhagavatam. Many kings were not doing that. They got attracted to so many other things. Even in the fourth canto, you will see Agnidram, and Agnidra's father was Priyavrata. Priyavrata was always attached to the truth. He took sannyas and went to Badrinath, and from there Narada Maharshi and Swayambhuvanu brought him back. Got him married. Not once, twice he had to marry. That is his prarabdham. But when the time came, he gave up everything and walked back, went back to spiritual realization again. That is Priyavrata. On the other hand, his son Agnidra, he got attached to this Apsaras. He was more into enjoying life. Naturally, he couldn't. He went back to Viprajiti's world. That is what whose Apsaras woman with whom he had the relationship. So there itself is to show to us that this decision first, whether we want it or not, is the first thing. the spiritual life. Spiritual life is like that. The realization is that immediately, that whether we want self-realization or not, that is more important than the process, everything. So sometimes you will notice also that in Ajamila's story and all that, there is spoken about this holy name, glorified like anything, isn't it? Ajamila chanted the holy name once and he went back to the... So these things are there in the Shastram only to give an impression about the holy name, but that itself is not the truth. That itself is not the truth. We have to understand that the power of the holy name is there, but if we don't come to that standard, like the way Ajamila has standard, because if we don't have a goal inside, and any process you follow, it will not take you to the goal. If you don't have a goal, you may follow the process, but if the goal is not there, the process is not going to take you anywhere. Process is not going to take you anywhere. For example, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Vedantam, Brahmavidya, all these things that is taught in the schools also, many places. In universities they teach them. And there are people who have got their master's, PhD and everything in all these subjects. In other words, and they studied all the books very well. Prasthanatraya means Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita and everything. They studied and they got their PhD and everything. But could you say that they are all liberated? Jivan Muktas? No. For them, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, Vedantam, everything they know. But for them, there is no interest at all about the knowledge of the self, nor they have in this lifetime it is possible to reach that state. They have not even thought about that in their life, but they are teaching that in the university. It's a very strange phenomenon this is, that you may wonder, this is a mystery actually. Go to all these big universities, they got all the books, and they've studied all the books, and they can explain to you everything, but they have no knowledge of what is meant by all that. This is the problem. It's an amazing thing it is. They can talk to you about whole Bhagavad Gita verse by verse, Bhagavadam, Upanishads, everything, but as they will keep that purely as a job, nothing more than that. They never care to take that more beyond than that. And because inside, they have no confidence, nor they had any desire inside to realize the truth. Never had any desire inside. It has never come to them. And there are many people like that. So what is the difference? Difference is this, that this will not give, books won't give you the jnanam or the knowledge or self-realization independently. It cannot do that. Similarly, all the yoga teachers also are like that. They are teaching yoga everywhere. They are taking it as a mission in their life. Why? Because yoga, they think that everyone should remain healthy in this world, bodily level. It's nothing gone towards the soul. So therefore, they are also stuck in that state. So practically what I am saying is, although we say Bhagavad Gita is read by many people, Upanishads are studied by many people, Vedantam is studied by many people, people who are in the serious business of self-realization are very, very few. Very, very few. Most of it is we make so many institutions we open, and we have facilities to teach Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and people go there, attend these classes, they come back. But that serious thing of that confidence of self-realization is never spoken anytime. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.